All right, let's go. All right, folks.
Hi.
We're back. This time, we're reviewing John Scalzi's Old Man's War series, the whole series.
Yes.
With me is Karthik Lalith. I'm Ishan Lalith. And just reminding you, this podcast is available on YouTube, Audioboom, and iTunes. So, John Scalzi is one of our favorite writers, really. One of my all-time best writers ever. And I actually fell in love with him and his writing because of Old Man's War. And Karthik has been reading it recently.
Well, I just to clarify, I read the first four parts already. And I stopped after that because you need to stop after four parts of a book. And
four parts of a series.
Yeah. So then I went on to the next three parts. Like I recently picked it up and I remembered why I loved John Scalzi so much. He is one of my favorite sci-fi authors and I think one of the best. That could be a biased opinion since I said favorite first. But yeah, he's one of the best authors that I've read in a long time.
So, Old Man's War.
Yes.
These guys are old people who get conscripted into this, what was it called?
It is called the Colonial Defense Forces, or okay, the CDF for short.
And they go and fight aliens. They're given new bodies. They're given weird alien mix human bodies with the computers inside their heads. And so they're basically already dead. And
okay, so let me explain this a little better.
Yeah.
Right, since I recently read it. So Earth is basically divided into two parts as per the colonial union. Earth still has all its regular governments and everything. But America is the part that they use to, get colonial defense forces. How that works is once you hit the age of 75, you're deemed old enough and you can choose to either die as per your natural life, or go ahead for a new body. And, you know, get your consciousness transferred into this new body with the nanobots as blood and a brain pal, which is their computerized brain, and a whole lot of other things, plus they're green.
Yeah, because they need to generate energy through photosynthesis.
Yes, and green generally helps them make more oxygen, which is also something. It's all fucked up, but it's all messed up, and I'm sorry. But it's hilarious the way they explain it in the first book, if you go ahead and read it, which is one of the reasons I like Scalzi.
What I don't like about this series, and from a writer's perspective, is all the technical information, it eventually goes over your head.
But he predicts that.
What does he predict?
He makes it all. He then says,
"No, like, here's the difference. This guy is a physics major. He's an engineer. Okay, I am a author.
Those are different things.
Whatever. I don't even know that. Okay, so I am an artist. How would I understand a whole lot of science over here?
Let me explain. I am a mechanical engineer, not a physics major. It involves a lot of physics. And
majorly.
And here's what I feel. I feel he puts something in for both worlds. And there's this recent explanation where he put in an explanation of how skip drives, which is, if you've seen science fiction, it's the way
they're faster than light transport.
Yeah.
Their version of it.
Their standard version of going from one point to the other point in the universe using quantum physics, or faster than light transport. But the way he does it is he gives both explanations. And the first explanation he gives is, it's electrical magical pixies, something to that effect.
No, that's right. Top Gear.
That's Top Gear, yes. The explanation he gives exactly was, it's magic in space that makes us go from one point to the other. And then
without the use of magic, any fantasy.
Yeah.
This is a complete sci-fi book.
Yeah, he says that, then he goes on to explain that, you know, normal physics breaks down, you work in the quantum media, and he even explains it like he's explaining it to a dummy, because every time an explanation is going on, it's going on from an intelligent person, which is the tech guy or somebody like that, to a dummy.
Yeah. He does that. The best part about this book is his humor.
Yes.
His sarcasm.
And very simple language.
Excellent, excellent. Second book. What is it called? Second book.
You can go into the series.
Right? Yeah, the Ghost Brigades.
Ghost Brigades. Awesome book.
Yeah, again, excellent. These are clones of other humans with their.
Not exactly. So the Ghost Brigades are. So whenever you opt to be part of the Colonial Defense Forces, the process is 99% accurate to transfer your consciousness from one body to the other.
However, people die before that.
So you still got a body there, which you've grown, which is, you know, looks like a clone of somebody else. Yeah, and it's got part of a consciousness and it can function. You treat it like a baby and make it grow up. And that is your Ghost Brigade. Get it? Ghost Brigade. There's actually dead people, but, well, it's a person.
Yeah, clones of dead people. That's what exactly what I said.
Thinking, walking, talking clones of dead people.
So basically they're human.
Yeah.
Okay, John Perry, the main lead in this book, finds his wife as one of the Ghost Brigades.
Yes.
He kind of confronts her and she throws him through a wall.
Yeah.
The whole premise of the book is that.
Yeah. And
the rest of the science and the aliens who they're killing again and again are in between all of this.
Yes, but it is stringing together a much larger story, which actually starts to show up in book 5. The first 3 books, you can actually go through just laughing your head off, actually. I mean, to be honest.
The Last Colony in the third book. Hmm. Okay, The Last Colony in the third book. I thought that showed more of the thing, more of this underlying story, rather than the first 2 or even the 4th book.
Well, see, The Last Colony showed you the first sign of the Conclave.
Yeah.
Which is this... which is the rest of the aliens getting, you know,
pretty pissed off with the human race because human race keeps beating them again and again and conquering more space.
According to the leader of the conclave, it was to so that people can stop being barbaric, and by people he applies it to all thinking species, can stop being barbaric and stop fighting over real estate by simply wiping each other out. And instead of that, just, you know, make something called the conclave where they can exist in peace.
Yeah, basically, humans are being a-holes.
Yeah. And we're simply throwing as much fodder towards the problem as we can.
So the humans decide to, make another colony. And they get John Perry, his dead wife's new clone.
Yeah.
And his current wife. And send them to this colony, which is now the Last Colony because the Conclave is coming.
Yeah, and the Conclave had said expressly as part of forming the Conclave that no other sentient species, including members of the Conclave, can ever make another colony.
Yeah. And non-members can ever make a colony.
Yeah, and the humans, being non-members, did. And
that propels the story to book number 4, Zoe's Tale. You see, basically, these the rest of everything is... fun, danger, action, great humor, but it eventually goes to back to the conclave, which is Zoe's tale, where Zoe, John Perry's
daughter,
yeah,
and his dead wife's now new wife's daughter,
yeah, but
adopted daughter, yes,
because she's the daughter of a mass murdering maniac.
Called Carl Sagan, who wanted to simply go for the genocide of the human race.
No, he was not Carl Sagan.
Carl Sagan?
No, man. Carl Sagan is that scientist, right?
Yeah, the scientist, Zoe's father, who gave the Odin consciousness. I just read Zoe's tale, literally like 4 days ago.
Carl Sagan, that's his name?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's his name. Carl Sagan and Zoe Sagan, his daughter.
Yeah.
All right, so now, Zoe Booten Sagan, because that's the name that she got. Well, regardless, so this thing breaks down as they're living in a colony. They get called on to this other colony, which is the Last Colony, It's a
colony. And John Perry decides, you know, he's going to side with the Conclave and takes the whole Conclave back to Earth and says, listen, those guys are just treating you like a farm.
He doesn't take the Conclave.
He takes the Conclave.
No. The Conclave gets wiped out in their skies.
The Conclave's first ships get...
Yeah, the 400 ships. He takes the other race, the spidery race, the very advanced race that nobody talks about. what was their name? The, well, there's this, the Khonsu, right? He takes the Khonsu. So the Khonsu is the race no other race wants to talk to because they're so advanced and so brutal that it's basically, they kill you off before you can even think or something. They can wipe out every other race in the galaxy.
No, I thought he took the whole conclave. So trading ships from all of the conclave to Earth.
Spoiler alert, I'm going to have to break this down. So in Zoe's tale, John Perry sends Zoe to the conclave, to the general, basically as a Hail Mary, so that Zoe can find some way of solving this mess that they're in, which they know the conclave is going to come and they're not allowed to leave their colony. Why not? Go figure out. Now, so what happens is,
spoiler,
she goes to General Tarsen Gao and she saves his life in a miraculous way, which again, you will have to find out. And also she's a treaty condition. This gets weird. She's a treaty condition between this alien race that her father gave the consciousness to, the same genocidal maniac, and the human civilization, or the human species, the colonial union, basically.
So this alien race will protect her with their lives.
But not anybody else. They don't give a fuck about the other humans.
Yeah.
They just care about her.
Yeah.
So what she tells them is to go to the Khonsu. The Khonsu are the people who gave the Odin intelligence and not consciousness. If you want to know more here, again, read the book. So they go to
hold on. This is getting too complicated. So basically,
she gets the biggest gun in the galaxy.
Yeah, she's protected very well. And she basically has to do a deal.
Yes.
Does she manage to? Can she? Find out and read it.
So treat this as the craziest case. Because in the next book, something called the Perry incident happens.
What is the Perry incident?
When Perry brings the rest of the civilization to Earth and basically tells Earth that the colonial union's been rooking them and not giving them information.
Yeah, the Perry incident.
Okay. Yeah, the Perry incident. So that breaks down relations between colonial union and the Earth.
And humanity is divided now.
Yeah.
There is one alliance humanity, one...
There are Earth humans, there are colonial union humans, and there's another group of humans, because there's always going to be...
Yeah, the human division.
Yeah.
And again, excellent. And in Zoe's tale and in the human division, John Perry isn't there, but his... old friend.
Yeah, Zoe said John Perry's there.
Yeah, for a very little amount.
No, for a very big part of the book.
John Perry. Where was John Perry?
They were on a colony. He was the administrator of the colony.
That's the last colony.
Yeah, no, that's the last colony is where it starts. The last colony is the last colony they could establish ever. That is where they tell you about the entire
mess. So John Perry isn't there.
No, Zoe's tale is where they established the colony. Okay.
Whatever, he's read it before.
Yeah, I've read it recently.
Human division, John Perry isn't there, but his old friend from the team they called Old Farts is there. And it's amazing. He's
Harry Wilson.
Harry Wilson is even funnier than John Perry.
Yeah. Harry was always hilarious. And you know, if you've read Old Man's War by this point, when you hit this point, which you would have, you would understand why I say Harry was always hilarious. These guys, the old farts are hilarious. All of them.
It's the only sad bit is that gay guy amongst the old farts died.
Yeah.
He was really funny and sarcastic.
He was John Perry's best friend, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, how would you rate this series?
This series, I would give it a 5 out of 5, actually. I'm that much... I mean, you can call me a fanboy, but I am actually that much of a fanboy for this series.
Do you follow John Scalzi on Twitter?
Yes, I do. I do, but I don't follow him I don't get notifications, but I do follow him.
I follow him. He's really funny over there, too.
That brand of humor, that sarcasm, that writing. It's his nature, man. It's awesome.
Yeah, he's really funny over there. He's excellent in books. I would rate this book again as 4. This whole series as 4 because there are points where he loses me compared to his newer books. But I love the series. I fell in love with John Scalzi with this series. Evil, please go read it.
Yeah.
Reminding you, this show is available on YouTube, Audioboom, and iTunes. That's Karthik Lalith. I'm Ishan Lalith. And we'll do more book chats soon. See you then. Keep reading. Bye.